This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, it's nice when we get out there, we get lots of shots on net. We know, you know, if you don't shoot the puck, you're not going to score. So a lot of our goals come from just rebounds in front and, you know, just greasy, dirty goals. And, you know, that's what wins hockey games. So we just got to keep doing that.
That's Sabres forward Dylan Cousins following one of the games the other night, as the Sabres are starting off the season pretty darn well. 3-0-0, one of the surprise teams in the NHL. We'll get to more of the surprising notes in just a moment. But right now, joining me on the Wester Hotline is a good friend of the station who comes on with me to give an update on the NHL and what's going on around the league every once in a while. David Pagnotta from the Fourth Period joins me right now on WGR. David, it's great to chat with you once again. How are you on this fine Friday afternoon?
I'm doing great. I'm gearing up for a flight in a couple hours, heading over to Seattle to catch the Kraken's, I guess, first official home game.
Very nice.
So pretty jacked for that. And the fact that we've got a full season that we're rolling with this year.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's great. It's great to have hockey back once again, a full 82-game schedule. Mind you, COVID is still an issue around the league. I'll get to that with you in a little bit, but we'll start off with Sabres stuff right now. And before we get to Jack Eichel, I just want to get your overall thoughts on just the surprising start to the season for the Sabres. They're starting out 3-0-0 in the first three games. And yes, mind you, it is three games, but certainly in the three games that they've played, they've had quite a significant advantage against their opposition that they played.
Yeah, well, they're getting contributions across the lineup so far, and this kind of is a trickle effect from, you know, how they were playing last season, quite frankly, with Granato behind the bench and just playing with a little bit more confidence, a little bit more loose, all that, you know, stigma around the team with everybody wanting out and things like that's off their shoulders. Reinhardt's gone, and you know, Ristolainen's in Philly, and Jack Eichel will be moved at some point. So all of those kinds of distractions are pretty much out of the room. So you could play with a little bit more confidence. Now, how sustainable this is going to be over the next, you know, 78 games, we'll obviously wait and see. But this has been solid so far. And, again, you're getting contributions from, you know, guys that are now, you know, factoring into not just Olofsson, and you get two goals from Thompson, but Skinner with a point a game in the first three. Okposo, a couple goals and an assist. Gergensen's back in the mix with 4 points. I mean, they're getting contributions up and down, and the goaltending has surprised a lot of people, myself included, with how solid it's really been to date with Tokarski and Anderson.
All right, David, so I'll jump right in here with Jack Eichel. The latest with him from Emily Kaplan last night, and this has been speculated for some time, but it seems like that trade talk has quieted down, so now the plan of action for the Sabres is at this point to pretty much, I guess, bombard the organization with medical opinions from around the universe, pretty much, or around the league, just pretty much saying, hey, you know, supporting the artificial disc replacement surgery for Eichel going forward. What are you hearing from your sources or around the league circles with the Eichel situation, with the latest on what's going on there, and maybe what's next for the Sabres and Eichel?
Yeah, I mean, look, this isn't a scenario where they're tabling trade talks, and they're just saying, you know what, just, we don't like what's going on, forget it, nobody call us. I mean, they're still they're still open. Kevin Adams' line is still wide open. Him and Pat Verzon, the agent for Jack Eichel, are still very much in the mix and engaged in conversations with other teams. It just hasn't been as heightened as they had expected, or at least Eichel's camp anyway, because the Sabres continue to hold a very firm stance in what the asking price is. And while they understand that there will likely be conditional assets that are going to be part of this deal, they're still holding on to whatever the initial package is going to be. So, you've got that factoring in. And, you know, really the price hasn't changed. It's the equivalent of four first-round picks is kind of part of it. You mix of prospects, current NHL players, actual draft picks. So that's the bulk of the asking price. But now is it, okay, we'll give you two of those things up front and the other two will be conditional. The Sabres may say, well, we want three and we want two conditions on top of it or something to that effect. So that's really put a hamper in expediting a trade because their position has been so firm really from the get-go. So from, you know, some advice and some suggestions, look, the NHL and the NHLPA are also part of this. They're checking in every now and again to see how things are going here. And the suggestion was, all right, well, let's try to get some additional opinions of the artificial disc replacement surgery and siphon that back to the Sabres to see if they would ease their opinion on their positioning. So that's effectively where we are at this stage with the Eichel situation. They're still very much, you know, having trade talks and willing to have those discussions. But again, the price hasn't changed. So now this is a matter of other people factoring in, saying, okay, how do we ease the concerns of the Sabres even further? Let's try to get a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh opinion on this. And hopefully it helps. But that's kind of where we are right now, as frustrating as it may be for really everybody at this stage involved.
Is there any indication, at least, that the Sabres would be willing to change their mind on the possibility of allowing Eichel to get this artificial disc replacement surgery? Or are you hearing that the Sabres are still pretty firm on the fusion surgery being the best option for Eichel here?
Yeah, they're still... I mean, that's their position. It hasn't changed. Now, if these, you know, other opinions that are coming in sway those minds at B, I'm not sure, and we'll obviously have to wait and see. But their positioning hasn't changed. Now, the odd thing out of all of that is the teams that are interested and are still in the mix in trying to acquire Jack is their positioning is different. They're willing to allow him to have disc replacement surgery. Which is why they're willing to make these types of offers and have conditions associated with it in case things go south. Mm-hmm. But they seem to be comfortable with it. Why the Sabres are not changing their minds, I mean, you ultimately have to ask them. I don't know. I've tried, and nobody's given anybody a straight answer.
Hmm. So with the trade talks, at least, is it still a focus on maybe looking to teams out west trying to not have Eichel in the Eastern Conference, or is there still a team like the Rangers involved in the mix? What are you hearing in terms of teams that are still interested and potentially okay with allowing Eichel to have this artificial disc replacement surgery?
It sounds like they're predominantly teams in the Western Conference, but at this point, I mean, I think Kevin Adams and the Sabres are willing to take on whatever the best package is, regardless of where it comes from. They'll ultimately pull the trigger on what that deal is. Now, if it's the East, it may be a little bit higher, the price. If it's their own division, it may increase the price a little bit more. But if they get whatever that asking price is and teams are willing to pay that price, at this stage, they don't care where he's going. They just want to make sure they get the best return possible. We saw Reinhart go to Florida, and we saw Ristolainen go to Philly, both in the East. So, you know, for them, it really doesn't matter as long as the package they get is the package that they want. You know, we still are hearing Vegas. We're still hearing Anaheim and Calgary you know, some other teams. San Jose, we've been hearing a lot of kind of up and down, but, I mean, they're not doing anything until they know definitively what the future holds for Evander Kane, especially with that $7 million cap hit. So that's another factor. We know other teams that have knocked on the door in the Minnesotas and St. Louis's and a few others that have, you know, L.A. as well. It doesn't sound like they're in that mix right now. But the other team, Columbus, was another club that was looking around as well. So we'll see. I haven't heard much on the Rangers at this point. I mean, it would take a pretty, I mean, I don't even know what it would take because I'm trying to think from a cap perspective, and people have been asking around the league.
Right, yeah.
Not just this season, but next, like Adam Fox has to sign, and they just signed Zibanejad. So I don't see the Rangers being realistic at this point, just primarily from a cap perspective.
Very good. David Pagnotta from the Fourth Period joining us right now on the Western Hotline here on WGR. Let's go around the NHL and get some thoughts from you, David, on just some of the teams that maybe are, you know, for good or for bad, being a surprising team. Right now, looking at least in the Atlantic Division, we know that the Montreal Canadiens are just really struggling through the first five games, and it's tough because they don't have Carey Price in net. He's in the NHL's assistance program dealing with his mental health issues, and also they don't have Shea Weber on the blue line. Just what's going on in Montreal right now, and how are they trying to handle an abysmal start to their season?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been – I mean, first of all, I get, you know, you come out of the gate and you play poor. And, you know, they played actually a really solid game against Toronto in their first game of the season. And then it just kind of trickled and got worse and worse and worse. And you saw after last night the frustrations really boiling over in Montreal and on the bench. Disallowed goal by Brendan Gallagher gets called back, and that changed the flow of the game. And once that happened, you kind of, you know, you get – the wind back in you, and then it just comes right out of those sails when the goal gets disallowed. So it's added frustration. It's trying to overcompensate. It's trying to force the issue because they've got some very good talent on this team. They're just not being they're not driving the play, and they're not effectively exiting their zone properly in a manner in which creates offense. They're just trying to dump it out and then hope that they can create something at that point. There's nobody on that blue line or really anybody that's going to control the puck in their own zone in the first five games of this season that have been able to create exit zone opportunities that lead to offensive chances for this club. So it's a matter – I mean, it's a perfect storm for them. And, yes, the injury to Weber and not having Joel Edmondson there for family reasons, not having Price there in net, I mean, all of this plays a factor too. But – I mean, really, it's now getting to a point where they're their own worst enemies and trying to overcompensate. And I mean, they've got an opportunity against Detroit on Saturday, but I mean, you know, we'll see. The Wings are playing pretty decently as well, so you never know.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the rest of the Atlantic Division right now, and right now in the standings, I mean, Florida has been an absolute train just rolling through everybody right now at 4-0-0, 8 points right atop the division. Then you got Buffalo, Detroit, Toronto, Ottawa's there, and then the bottom three are Tampa Bay, Boston, and Montreal. Are we starting to maybe see the rest of the teams in the Atlantic Division, I mean, maybe outside of Buffalo to an extent, but catch up in terms of talent level and catch up with the top teams in the Atlantic Division? Or, you know, with it being so early in the season, do you think things will start to begin to sort itself out and we'll see the top crop teams being at the top and some of the other teams kind of filtering down?
Yeah, I mean, look, we see this every season. Shortened season, full 82-game season. Teams have a tendency, or I guess the hockey gods come in and start to even things out as the season progresses. So, you know, a crappy 0-5 start for Montreal, are they that bad? No, and things will eventually even out. But they may be digging themselves too big of a hole at the end of the day. Whereas you see teams like Florida that were on the cusp last season that got better and are now starting to propel themselves among the top elite in the National Hockey League. You've got those. You've got the younger players on Detroit and Ottawa that are starting to make some headway in the National Hockey League, and that'll keep things a little bit even. So we may not see teams like we had in the past, like Tampa's or Toronto's or even Florida and Boston that would run away with the standings now because the competition is getting tighter and you've got a better Buffalo Sabres team, a more confident Sabres team, more confident Detroit team. I mean, I'm not saying these teams are going to be in the playoffs this season, but they're going to make life difficult for those other contenders that are out there. And, you know, if you're playing a six-game series over the course of the season, in, you know, yesteryear, you would probably be 4-2. Well, maybe it's going to be, you know, 3-2-1 or something to that effect. So the competition is starting to spread out a little bit more because we're seeing the younger talent that are really starting to make an impact on a lot of these clubs, not just in this division, but across the NHL.
Chicago now, and talking about teams that have been disappointing right off the bat, Chicago's another team that is yet to win so far in the regular season. Five games, they're 0-4-1. And this is a team that in the offseason, they added a bunch of pieces. Seth Jones, they added Marc-Andre Fleury in goal to stabilize themselves there. They get Jonathan Taves back after missing the entire season last year. What is going on with this Blackhawks team? I mean, a team that a lot of people had kind of pegged as, you know, maybe a team to surprise in the Central Division, to be a team to get back in the playoffs and help extend Marc-Andre Fleury's his playoff streak. But so far through five games, it's been kind of a mess there.
It has. There's a lot of questionable decision-making that has gone on. It looks like the structure in Chicago just isn't where it needs to be at this point. You're right. They got deeper. They made a lot of changes in the offseason. You're seeing, we talked about young kids earlier. Well, now Kirby Dach is going to have an opportunity to play a full season with the Hawks and be a top six guy. So between those additions and Tyler Johnson and the changes on the blue line and bringing in Marc-Andre Fleury, sometimes it takes a little bit. I mean, preseason's one thing. Once you get to the regular season, it takes a little bit of time to make all these adjustments. And you've got Jonathan Taves back in the mix, as you said. So, and after missing out on a season, sometimes for teams like this, you know, it takes a little bit longer for them to get their legs under them and to play cohesively. DeBrincat and Kane are doing good things so far, as we would expect. But it's sometimes when you've got a full lineup with so many changes and so much turnover, it just takes a little bit more time. I'm not going to write this team off just yet by any stretch, five games in, but I want to see, once they get to the 10-game mark, if they can't get, you know, let's say three out of the next five in the W column, it may be, a tough sledding for this club moving forward. But I think five games in, give it a few more, I think they're going to start to get things going for this club. They should, if not, yeah.
Yeah, would Jeremy Colleton's job be in question then? Could it be a situation where if things continue to go south that they make a change?
Yeah, I don't think it would be that early on because he seems to have a lot of confidence from upper management.
Okay.
But if we do get to a point in the quarter mark where this team is, at the bottom of the barrel significantly, then I could see that kind of playing out. It wouldn't surprise me at that stage. Again, I don't want to write them off just yet because with teams that make this kind of turnover, sometimes it takes a stretch before they can get things going. But if we're, let's say, the 25-30 game mark, and this team is as poor as they are in the five-game mark, you could definitely justify the fact that this team may be looking at making a change behind the bench.
Last thing I'll ask you here, David, and you made mention of this right off the bat when we were chatting with you. You're heading to Seattle for this weekend's home opener for the Kraken on Saturday. They're playing the Canucks, their new, I guess you could say, arch rival, even though they haven't played yet, but, I mean, they're they're just across the border from each other. What have you seen from the Kraken so far through their first four games of the year? What are you looking forward to seeing in terms of going to their home opener and seeing what they can do for the rest of the season, I guess?
You know, this was a team that was advertised as being built from the crease out. Sound defensively and strong and physical and tough to play against. And they've given up 19 goals on the season so far in their first five games. And they've scored 11, which is kind of middle of the pack. But, I mean, they've given up the most in the Pacific Division, third most in the West. I think that goes for the entire NHL as well. So this is a team that needs to be a little bit more responsible in their own zone. It seems like, based on, you know, watching them play from afar anyway, that they're the ones that are trying to rush the offensive game and trying to create or force plays rather than create opportunities. And that leads teams, when you start doing that, it leads clubs to being a little bit more kind of weak in the defensive positioning. You're not bailing out your team as much. You get too many opportunities that are now being created for the opposition when you're trying to force the offensive numbers and the offensive game. So you're kind of leaving your goalie out to try a little bit. Maybe only one defenseman is back. That seems to be the issue, at least out of the gate for this club. I think this is going to be a middle-of-the-pack kind of team, challenging for a wild-card position. I don't know if they're going to get there this season. I like the makeup of the team. It just looks like they're trying to do a little bit too much and focus too much on the offensive game and they were built to be a sound, structured defensive squad that is physically tough to play against. So while they are tossing the body around a little bit, they need to get back to what the initial diagram of this team was going to be. And then I think they'll get back on track for this season.
Very good. You can follow David on Twitter at The Fourth Period. You can follow his work over at thefourthperiod.com. Mr. Pagnotta, it's great to talk with you once again. I hope you and your family are doing well, and we'll chat again sometime soon down the road. And, you know, I'm sure it'll probably be something about Eichel one way or another.
Yeah, I hope the next time it's, hey, guess what? He got traded.
Right.
So that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people here in Buffalo are ready for a resolution to come forth somehow, some way, whether that's let him have the surgery or find a way to move him and get pieces back to build for the future. But thanks again, David. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy Seattle as well.
Thanks so much. Yeah, looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Take care as well. David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com joining us on the Western Hotline. Always a great chat with David. In case you missed that, you can find it shortly on demand at WGR550.com. Zach's going to have that up available for you momentarily. And in case you want to go listen to it again right now, hit that rewind button on the Odyssey app or at WGR550.com on the little listen feature there. You can hit rewind, and you got 24 hours to listen to that using the rewind function. Thanks again to David Pagnotta for joining me as well. 803-0551-888-552-550. The final 30 minutes of the show are completely wide open for you. If you want to get in your Bills thoughts, if you want to get in your Sabres thoughts, join us. Call us up right now, 803-0551-888-552-550. But when we come back, two power rankings came out, one yesterday, one today. Both of them have the Sabres fairly high. The one... oh, my. That's coming up next. Brayton Wilson filling in for One Bills Live today. You're listening to WGR.
What I like about the buzz, it's not about, you know, winning. We want to win, and we play to win, obviously. Certainly, you mentioned years in the past. Nobody's thinking about years in the past, I can tell you that. They play hard for each other, and they want to come to the rink and see their buddies, and they go hard in practice, and they're building that. You know, it's not something we're doing as coaches, obviously. They enjoy being around each other, and you can feel and see that. You know, for them to get rewarded by winning is even better. But again, I thought tonight could have went either way. We stand here, yeah, happy to be 3-0, but you're in the NHL. You just move on, and you take the points where you can get them when you can get them, and you know you got to work the next day. And I think our guys have that perspective, and they enjoy being around each other.
Sabres head coach Don Granato, as his team gets ready to face the Boston Bruins this evening down at KeyBank Center. As the Sabres and Bruins will face off tonight at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage on WGR will officially begin at 6 o'clock with Mike Shope and the Bulldog right here on WGR. Again, a reminder, friendly reminder, that tonight's game, if you were looking to watch the game, it's only available on ESPN Plus for streaming purposes. If you cannot get ESPN Plus, then you can listen to the broadcast on WGR with Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray on the call. It's the only place you'll be able to hear Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, by the way. And, of course, throughout the season, you'll get all 82 games and maybe even some playoff games, depending. I'm not trying to jinx the team or anything like that, but you will hear every single game from the Sabres in a course of a season over the next multi-years, anyway, over the next several, right here on WGR. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Couple segments left in the show, but I definitely want to get to a interesting, very, very interesting couple of power rankings. First one, maybe not so much as the other one, but they still have the Sabres ranked relatively high in these power rankings. Let's start off with the NHL.com's power ranking. Dan Rosen wrote this over at NHL.com. We've had Dan on multiple times, but this is also just a collaborative effort between everybody else from NHL.com, just with the power rankings and how they kind of total up points and deviate which teams are where, et cetera, et cetera. The Buffalo Sabres at 3-0-0. This was posted yesterday. They ranked the Buffalo Sabres 14th in their power rankings. Of course, preseason rankings, they were not ranked because it's the Super 16 NHL power ranking. With it being 32 teams, they take the top half of the league in their eyes and rank them. Sabres come in 14th, and here's what's written at NHL.com about the Buffalo Sabres being number 14. They've won three games in a row to start a season for the first time since 2008-2009. 4-0, as they point out. Eight players have scored at least one goal, including forward Jeff Skinner, who scored in the third game, 5-2 win against the Canucks on Tuesday, after not scoring his first goal last season until the Sabres' 20th game of the season. 15 of Buffalo's 20 skaters who have played have scored at least 1 point. That just speaks to the overall team effort that is that has been going on with this team. NHL.com, ranking at number one right now, the Florida Panthers. Understandably so. As I mentioned with David Pagnotta, they are a complete train right now. They're not a train wreck. They're a train steaming along to open up this season. Doesn't matter who they have in net. Sergei Bobrovsky, Spencer Knight. Does not matter one bit. They are rolling. They are playing as the best team. They are super well constructed from top to bottom. Alexander Barkov, Jonathan Huberdeau. They have Sam Reinhart now. Sam Bennett is also there. They're just trying to acquire every top pick from that 2014 NHL draft class with the exception of Leon Draisaitl because he's still out there in Edmonton with a guy named Connor McDavid. So Florida's number one. They have the Carolina Hurricanes ranked number two. Carolina is still undefeated as well. They earned a win last night in Montreal against the Canadiens. Jesperi Kotkaniemi scoring a goal last night against the Canadiens, against his former team. Gotta love that there. Hurricanes just trolling the Canadiens in the offseason with a stupid, excessive offer sheet to Jesperi Kotkaniemi, which, rightfully so, the Canadiens let him walk and they get a first-round and third-round pick. The Lightning are ranked number three at 2-2. Edmonton is also 4-0. Connor McDavid scored twice last night against the Coyotes. It's the Coyotes, by the way, you want to talk about terrible teams. Yes, they put up a decent performance against the Sabres. They got a point, but let's be honest. The Sabres dominated that game, and the Coyotes had their goaltender just play really well in that game. If it wasn't for that one performance, the Coyotes would be 0-4-0 super easily. They are so bad. They are built to be a team to finish near the bottom of the standings this year and be a team that is likely in contention for Shane Wright come the end of the season and come the draft lottery. Edmonton's number four, though. Number five is Washington. They earned a win last night. Number six is Colorado, even though they lost to Washington last night. Minnesota's number seven. Boston's number eight. Pittsburgh's number nine, and your 10th team in NHL.com's power rankings from yesterday, the St. Louis Blues. Now let's go to the interesting power ranking from The Athletic. This one was done in collaboration between Sean Gentile and Dom Lashizhin. And I'll just throw out the title of these power rankings here because I think you'll get an understanding as to why this one's a little more outrageous. Title of the power rankings, forget what you know. After 1 week, we're embracing chaos. So, you see that, and you think, okay, if they're embracing the chaos of the early parts of the season, just how high do Sean Gentile and Dom Lashizhin have the Sabres being ranked right now? Well, I'll tell you that in just a second as I have to log into The Athletic after having the article up and ready to go. Let's see here. That's what I forgot one letter in the password. Now I'm back in. I'm logged in. Okay. Sorry about that. Terrible radio. I understand, but we're moving on. So number one, they have the Florida Panthers ranked number one. Okay, there's comparison with that in the NHL's power rankings. Both of them are number one, understandably so. Again, the Panthers are a train right now, rolling along, steaming along, and they just look like they're unstoppable right now. Number two, your Buffalo Sabres. Sean Gentile and Dom Lashizhin have the Buffalo Sabres ranked number two in their week one power rankings in the NHL. Just, I mean, it's just so funny. And they are embracing the chaos. So the Sabres 3-0 last week, they were ranked dead last. I think a lot of people had them ranked dead last in the power rankings. Dom Lachisen ranked them third. Sean Gentile ranked them second. Sean Gentile's thoughts are, three games in and the Sabres' expected goals percentage is at 64%. 64-64. The Sabres, if they outshoot opponents a dozen more times, they'll have beaten their mark from last season. Casey Mittelstadt is out. Jack Eichel may as well not exist. At this point, who cares? Don Granato, Donnie Meatballs, will provide. Honestly, man, if this is the high watermark of their season, so be it. I want something good to happen to Don Granato, the guys on the team, the people in their city. The front office, ownership, whatever. Dom Lachisen wrote, after a decade of darkness, Sabres faithful deserves some sort of happiness. If it's a meme worthy three-game win streak to start the season, so be it. Usually when this stuff happens, it's a hot run of percentages, but the fact Buffalo is actually honest to God outplaying teams has made this little run even better. This probably won't hold, but I think people were underrating how competent the Sabres looked under Donnie Meatballs to end last season. If the Sabres aren't a laughingstock this season, just give him the Jack Adams Award. All right. They both say this run for the Sabres may not last, but it's entertaining. Just as Don Granato wants his team to play, they want them to play entertaining hockey. And that's exactly what it's been so far. It's been super fun to watch this Sabres team on a nightly basis go out there and play the way they have in the first three games. And yes, their advanced analytics, when you look at it, show just how dominant they played. Their Corsi percentage, which is a really nice way to kind of dictate just how many chances they're getting and puck possession compared to other teams. Their numbers are pretty damn good right now through three games. And again, they haven't played the greatest of competition. They haven't played the Bostons, the Tampas, the Florida Panthers yet. But through three games, if these numbers that they're sustaining in the first three games continue and they could be able to carry that night in, night out, Sabres will be just fine. They'll be in a good spot. And again, whether they make the playoffs, whether this sustains itself for the long term, I don't know, as these guys don't know. But give us entertaining hockey and at least show some sort of freaking optimism that this team is turning a corner, that this team finally has put something together that is sustainable, that is watchable, that is exciting on a nightly basis. Who knows? Maybe they'll get lucky, get and win a draft lottery. Maybe they'll win Shane Wright in the draft lottery and win a top two pick, in the draft lottery now. Maybe in 2023, it's the same thing. Maybe they come out and they play well, they show more progress. It doesn't come to fruition for them for a playoff run, and they win a draft lottery and get either Connor Bedard or Matvei Michkov, which would be awesome. But we'll see. I'm really liking, though, what I'm seeing from the Sabres hockey team right now. Even if they don't win, if they could consistently put up these efforts night in, night out, and maybe just like bounces go the wrong way or something like that, maybe every night's not going to be a super dominant night in terms of possession and in terms of advanced analytics and stats and everything like that. As long as they can show that they're competent and that they're in games every single night, be competitive, be spirited, have a pulse, I'll buy it for the next two seasons. After the next two seasons, that's probably when I'm going to jump on here behind a mic and say, this team needs to freaking win right now. Get to the playoffs and do something. Make some noise. But until then, we've still got some time. We've still got some time to watch how everything unfolds with this team. And I'm looking forward to it. And again, if the Sabres can make the playoffs this year, by all means, I'll take that over being in the running for Shane Wright by the end of the year. I will take that any day if they can make the playoffs this year. 803-0550. I'm really glad that that worked out, Zach, where I didn't get to the power rankings yesterday from NHL, and then all of a sudden Dom Lachisen and Sean Gentile bring out their power rankings today. tie them both together. That was perfect. I couldn't have asked for anything more, honestly.
Oh, beautiful.
I felt bad for getting the NHL's one yesterday, but now it worked out so perfectly. I'm on vacation in like 15 minutes, so like I'm just
now.
Like this makes me happy. Vacation, the fact that I'm going to be leaving here in a matter of moments, it makes me happy, and going someplace that's a little bit warmer and sunnier.
There you go.
Fine by me.
That's all you need, just a little warm sun. Say you're doing well, you're good.
Absolutely. 803-0550, if you want to get any final thoughts in the final segment of the show, you're more than welcome to do so. Feel free to phone us up, pick up the phone, give us a call if you want. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We'll get you ready for the Sabres taking on the Bruins tonight. Schopen Bulldog will take over, and of course, heading into the weekend, Sabres will play again tomorrow night against the New Jersey Devils. More to come still on WGR today and all throughout the weekend. Sabres on the bye week, and they'll be getting ready to face the Dolphins next week, and much more to come. Brayton Wilson filling in for One Bills Live once again today. You're listening to WGR. My thanks again to Paul Hamilton today for joining me in the 1:30 part of the show. Also, David Pagnotta from TheFourthPeriod.com joined me at 2 o'clock. In case you missed both of those interviews, Zach's got those up on demand for you over at WGR550.com. Sabres taking on the Bruins this evening. We'll have pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock right here on WGR with Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, face-off at 7. Tomorrow, the Sabres will be in action once again as they take on the New Jersey Devils in Newark. A 7 o'clock face-off once again with pregame coverage at 6 with Brian Koziel. And then the Sabres are back in action again on Monday night back at KeyBank Center against the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. And then it's off out west to the West Coast for the Sabres as they will start a four-game road trip out west. And, of course, the Bills will be back in action coming up next Sunday as well. And they will take on the Dolphins. And, of course, we'll have everything all covered for you here on WGR all throughout that process with the Bills, with the Sabres, your official home for both of the teams here on WGR. You can find all the latest updates available for you at WGR550.com. Check out my game preview for tonight's action over on our website. And everything that you missed and everything that you may have wanted to find, that's also available for you on our website on demand at WGR550.com. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in over the past couple of days. My thanks again to Chris Brown and Steve Tasker for letting me fill in during the 1-3 slot here on WGR. Even though it wasn't Bills talk mostly, it was a lot of hockey talk, but the Bills bye week and everything like that, who's really gonna need to be upset about that anyway, right? All right, so off to the weekend now, off to Schopen Bulldog. They're coming up next, and we'll talk to you again in a little bit. And as for me, I'll talk to you again next Friday. I'm off for the next handful of days, so I'll talk to you then as well. But until then, enjoy the upcoming weekend. Enjoy the weekend of Sabres hockey. Enjoy whatever you're doing on Sunday for the Bills bye week. And we will be back with more Bills coverage and everything like that after the weekend on Monday with Howard and Jeremy starting at 6 right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.